two dogs, Abby, a border collie, and Snowy, a white golden retriever. Although we've still got Snowy, but Abby died a few years ago. But these two dogs were just so different. They're like chalk and cheese. If I was in the garden, Abby would always be right with me. She was like my shadow. If I looked around, it was always Abby was there. Whereas Snowy would be kind of doing her own thing. She'd be just wandering off in the garden and looking up at a tree, at an imaginary bird. She just sort of did her own thing. I remember one night there was a frog croaking near our bedroom window, and this frog was starting to drive me a bit crazy. It was really loud. I love frogs too, but he was driving me a bit crazy, and I thought, I'm going to go out and find this frog. So in the middle of the night, I went out there, and I'm with the torch and walking up and down, and I could not find this frog. And then I had an idea. I thought, I'll get the dogs to find the frog. So I got the dogs together and I said, where's the frog? Where's the frog? Find the frog. Where's the frog? And Abby, when I said this, Abby, I could just see Abby understood what I was saying. Abby and I had this connection. We could just see into one another's eyes and we just understood one another. I'm sure she understood English. Abby, she was a really smart dog, whereas poor old Snowy, bless her, she, even though she was there, she wasn't there, if you know what I mean. She was sort of there, but, and you know, smiling, but I could see she didn't understand what I was saying. So when I was going, where's the frog, where's the frog, Abby, straight away, she was up and down, pacing the fence, and then she found the frog. She scratched around, found the frog, and the frog didn't die. I took the frog to a swamp, which is near our place. Another example is up at the park. When we would go to the park and I'd let the dogs off the leash, they'd both have a bit of a sniff around and a bit of a play, but Abby would always be looking around, checking where I was. You know, she wouldn't go more than about 100 metres. She'd always be checking where I was. Whereas Snowy, again, she was a lot more random, Snowy. She'd be with me for a while, you know, which was all good, and then suddenly she would just bolt. She would bolt. She'd maybe see a bird 400 metres away, and she would just go. And I'd be calling out, Snowy, Snowy, and there's just no way she was turning around. Once she saw that bird, she was off. And in fact, I'd get Abby to chase her. I'd say, Abby, get Snowy. And again, Abby got me. Abby understood me. And she would go and round her up. Wouldn't she, Vicky? She'd do the same with James too. Sometimes I'd say, get James. And she understood. She's an amazing dog. I really miss that dog. But as a result, Abby got to go off the leash more than Snowy, because I was worried about Snowy getting run over. So Abby would have more time off the leash than Snowy did in the park. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, because Abby was more obedient, she actually had more freedom. Yeah, it's similar with our relationship with God. When you're obedient to God, when you stay within his guidelines, there's actually more freedom. Within his boundaries, there's actually a lot of freedom if you stay within God's boundaries. God calls us to obey his commandments. God's laws and commandments are there to guide us and to protect us. God's word provides us with clear boundaries between what's right and what's wrong. And when you step out of God's guidelines, you become more vulnerable to falling into sin. When you step out of God's guidelines, you become more vulnerable to falling into addictions like alcohol and drugs. You become more vulnerable to breaking the law. But you're also more vulnerable to becoming unforgiving, hateful, angry, bitter. You know, all these things can start to dominate your life, and they can bind you and constrict you and take away your freedom and your joy. Whereas when you're obedient to God and stay within his boundaries, there's actually a lot of freedom within those boundaries, and our God will bless you for it. In Luke 11:28, Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise and glory. Lord, your name is above all names. Lord, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we just pray that we are obedient to your word. And Lord, I just pray that you speak through me this morning to deliver your message. And Lord, may you be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, this morning I'm going to talk about Naaman, a man from the Old Testament. His story is in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, and it's thought to be around 850 BC. In 2 Kings, chapter 5, verse 1, the word says, "Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy." Now, Naaman was the commander of the army of Aram, or as we know it today, Syria, which is a country just north of Israel. There'd been a long history of conflicts between Syria and Israel, and at the time there was extreme tension between these two countries. Naaman was both a great man and an honourable man. He was very loyal to the Syrian king. Because Naaman was an honourable man, God showed him favour, even though he was a Syrian, a non-believer at the time. And some people might find that a bit unusual, that God showed favour to Naaman before he believed. But then you just have to look back on your own life and think about some times that you feel that God protected you before you became a Christian. And I can think of a number of occasions, including one night about 20 years ago when we were living in St. James. And it was late at night, and I was lying on the couch watching TV, drifting off, when I heard this car coming down the road, coming down our street. It was coming down really fast. And then the driver slammed on his brakes, and it was really loud. You know when you hear a car screeching and you're just waiting for that bang? You're just waiting for it to happen, but it doesn't happen. Well, this time it did. This car just went bang. Excuse me. It smashed right into a power pole near the front of our house. When I heard it hit the pole, I jumped up and ran to the front door. But in that short space of time, in going from the couch to the front door, the driver somehow managed to reverse up and take off. I don't know how he could react that quick. When I got out the front, he was already speeding off down the road. And when I got out the front, there were also some other neighbours that were starting to trickle out the front too, including one of my neighbours, Carmen, from across the road, who was an electrician. And quickly he saw that one of the power lines was down. So he said, "Stand back, everyone, stand back." Not long after, Vicky came out the front door. And I yelled out to Vicky, stay back on the lawn where it's safe. The next moment, Vicky yelled out. She said, "John, there's another line, power line over here." And I said, "Where?" And Vicky said, "Here on the lawn. I just trod on it." Vicky said that when she stood on the power line, she felt a whole buzzing. This is the way Vicky described it. She felt a whole buzzing feeling going through her body. Vicky's dad, who was an electrician, said she was very lucky. Vicky stood on a live power line and suffered no ill effects, no side effects. Well, none that we know about anyway, Vicky, is that right? But I believe it was one of those moments, when God was protecting Vicky and our whole family. You know, even before we became Christians, we weren't Christians at the time. I believe God did that because he had a plan for Vicky, he had a plan for me, he had a plan for James, and he also has a plan for everyone else here. Anyway, back to the story of Naaman. Although Naaman was a great commander and highly regarded, he had one major problem. He had leprosy. Leprosy is a chronic disease characterized by sores, scabs and white shining spots beneath the skin. In biblical times, this disease was incurable. And in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 2, the word goes on to say, "Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of leprosy, of his leprosy.'" The prophet the Jewish girl was talking about was Elijah. Elijah was God's anointed prophet of Israel. Now, this young Jewish girl had faith. She believed that God could heal Naaman of leprosy, which at the time was incurable. She was also putting her neck on the line, because if things didn't go well, you know, she might be in big trouble. She's one of those unknown, unnamed people of the Bible, but I think she is one of the great people of the Bible. Her words helped change the course of Naaman's life. To Naaman's credit, he was willing to listen to her. I think he was desperate, and people are often desperate, more willing to listen to people when they're desperate. After listening to her advice, Naaman went to the king of Syria and told him what the girl had said. The king was probably delighted to hear that something could be done for Naaman. So immediately the king of Syria sent Naaman to the king of Israel. He sent Naaman to Israel with a large reward, consisting of 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Now, that's a lot of silver, and the calculations show it's about 200 to 300 kilograms of silver and about 50 to 70 kilograms of gold. That is a lot of gold. That's a huge reward, and just shows you how much the king of Syria valued Naaman. Now, the king also provided a letter for the king of Israel. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 6, the word says, "With this letter I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." But when the king of Israel read the letter, he was furious. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 7, the word says, "As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, 'Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me.'" Here's a case of the king of Syria totally misunderstanding Naaman's request. The king was visibly angered. He tore his robes and thought that the Syrians were trying to start a fight with him. And he also said that the Syrians had given him an impossible request to heal a man of leprosy. The king of Israel was basically saying, that is impossible. Whereas a lowly servant girl in Syria believed that God could heal Naaman through Elijah. It's not about what position or title or rank you have, but whether you believe and have faith in God. That's what counts. It's about belief. And this girl, this slave girl, had faith. Verse 8 goes on to say, "When Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent this message: 'Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel.'" So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. And when he arrived, Elijah didn't go out and greet him, but instead sent someone to tell him in verse 10. And this servant said, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." Now, Naaman was from a great kingdom in the north. In fact, his nation was bearing down on Israel at the time. Syria had already gained some important victories over Israel, and Naaman probably expected the red carpet to be rolled out for him. And what happened? Elijah didn't even go to the door. He sent one of his servants to speak to him, and the servant told Naaman, the great commander of the Syrian army, to go down and wash in the Jordan 7 times. You think Naaman was going to accept this advice? He should, but no way. Naaman was angry. He'd probably never been treated like this before. In verse 11, Naaman said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy." Naaman thought that the prophet Elijah was being rude by not coming to the door, but instead just sending one of his servants. Some might think that what Elijah did was wrong, but the thing is, Elijah was a prophet. Elijah didn't have to go to the door and speak to Naaman personally, because God's word is enough. God's word is always enough. There is power. There is power in God's word. Anyway, Naaman was worked up and he angrily said, "Aren't the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Apparently those rivers that Naaman was talking about are actually quite nice in Damascus, nice clear water, whereas the Jordan can be a bit more of a muddy stream at times. And this was all a bit too demeaning for Naaman. He was a proud man and his pride had been hurt big time. Naaman had come a long way. He'd taken the advice from a lowly servant girl. He'd travelled to Israel. He'd spoken to the king. But being treated like this was just too much. He'd had enough. A man of his high standing. Even though healing was really, really close, his pride had been hurt. So he was ready to give up. He was ready to quit. But just when Naaman was about to leave, some of his servants went to him and gave him some very timely advice. They encouraged him. Keep going. Keep going. In verse 13, the word says that Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" They encouraged Naaman to obey what the prophet told him, wash and be cleansed. So to Naaman's credit, he took their advice. And verse 14 says, he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and he became clean, like that of a young boy. Now you just have to think what happened here. Naaman, the great commander, humbled himself, went down to wash in the Jordan. To wash, he probably would have had to take off some of his garments and expose his weak and deformed body for everyone to see. It would have been very humbling for him to show his leprosy in front of everyone. And then he washed himself, not in nice clear water, but in a muddy stream. And not just once, but 7 times. I was wondering how he did that, actually. How he washed 7 times. Did he go in and out of the water 7 times, or just underneath? But it would have been a great sight. You know, to do that, he had to let go of his pride and expose his weak body for all to see. He humbled himself and put God first. And because of that, God blessed him abundantly. His flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Who'd like that? Actually, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Yeah, God opposes the proud but shows grace to the humble. And Naaman was humble in that situation. God miraculously healed Naaman. In 2 Kings verse 15, the word goes on to say, "Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, 'Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant.'" You know, after getting healed, Naaman and all his attendants went back to Elijah, the man of God. Now, I think that is really important. Elijah was God's anointed prophet over all Israel. He was like God's representative here on earth. Naaman went back to Elijah and gave thanks to God for healing him of leprosy. And that's something we need to remember to do as well. We need to give thanks to God for what he's done for us in the past, what he's doing for us now, what he's going to do for us in the future. We need to be grateful people. It's really important. When Naaman went back, he also spoke out. He confessed that there is one true God, the God of Israel. He confessed with his mouth that there is only one true God. He publicly confessed his faith in God. Now, God had just healed him of leprosy, which was miraculous. But now Naaman received something from God which was far greater. He received eternal salvation. Through Naaman putting his faith in God, God gave him eternal salvation. God healed Naaman both physically and spiritually. The word also says that Naaman tried to pay Elijah for being healed. But Elijah wouldn't accept his money because he knew that it was God who healed Naaman of his leprosy. And Elijah knew that it was God who healed Naaman spiritually. Salvation is a gift that only God can give when we put our faith in him. Amen. You know, to be healed, Naaman had to obey God. He also had to let go of his pride, reveal his weak body, and go and wash in the river. To many people, that would have just been too humiliating. But the reward for being humble was great, and for being obedient was great. He was completely healed, both physically and spiritually. I think most of us here want to receive blessings from God. Am I right? We want to receive blessings from God. I know I want to receive blessings from God. We want to see breakthroughs. Who wants to see breakthroughs? I want to see breakthroughs in my life. I want to overcome problems that I'm facing. But I ask you, are you being obedient to God? Are you reading his word? Are you praying? Are you praising him? Are you worshiping him? Are you giving him thanks? Are you obeying his commandments? Are you repenting of your sins and also turning away from your sins? Are you forgiving people who've done wrong against you? Are you living a life that is obedient to God, or are you living a life that's more focused on yourself? If you're not seeing blessings and breakthroughs in your life, it might be because you're not coming under his authority. Submitting to God and coming under his authority isn't always easy. Being obedient to God sometimes means you have to let go of your pride and take your eyes off yourself and focus on God and focus on other people. You know, being obedient to God can be very humbling. But our God is a rewarder to those who are obedient to him. He's a rewarder to those who humble down to him. Choose to be obedient to God. If you want a blessed life, a joyful life, a life with a lot of freedom, then you need to be obedient to God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise and glory. Lord, we exalt your name. Your name is above all names. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for everything you've done in our lives, what you're doing now, what you're doing in the future. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your precious word. And we pray that we are obedient to your word. Now, this morning I've talked a lot about being obedient to the word of God and the blessings that come from that. Well, the greatest blessing that you can ever receive from God is the gift of salvation. And if you've never made a decision for Christ and you want to welcome him into your life, make that decision today. To be saved, you need to acknowledge that you've sinned and also believe that Jesus died for your sins and that God rose him up again. In Romans 10:9, the Apostle Paul said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, well, then you will be saved. If you've never made a decision for Christ and you want to make that one today, put your hand up and I'll pray for you right here, right now. Publicly showing your faith in Christ is a good thing, and Jesus will bless you for it. In Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before man, I will acknowledge you before the Father. It's a promise from Jesus Christ. So if you want to welcome Christ into your heart, put up your hand and I'll pray for you right here and right now. Thank you. That's a brave decision. Thank you for putting up your hand. God will bless you abundantly for that. Anyone else? Put up your hand now and I'll pray for you right here and right now. Heavenly Father, I should just say, anyone who's put up their hand, please pray after me. And could everyone else in the congregation also join with me and pray after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I am sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for the life I've lived and I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he shed his blood on the cross and died for my sins. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Right now, I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm going to believe in him and follow him for the rest of my days. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins and giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just give you all the praise and glory. And Lord, I just thank you for that man who's put his hand up, Lord. I just pray blessings over his life. Lord, I pray that we are obedient to you in all areas of our life. I pray that we seek you through your word, through prayer, through praise and worship. I pray that we are obedient to your commandments. I pray that we are a blessing to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.